Sports Card Show, the only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world. Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palati and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Hello and welcome back to the True Sports Card Show. Yes, that is my voice, Emil Fragoso, joined, of course, by Imran Palati. And we have a special guest in studio today making his radio debut today. The one and only partner alongside Imran Palati at True Sports Cards, Big Shep.
Imran. Let me just start. As we get Shep's stuff going, got to get a little closer to the mic. There you go.
There's
a microphone there.
Oh, yeah, use the microphone?
There you go.
Okay. Now, this is Imran.
Hi, Imran.
It's really me. It's an awful voice. I was so sick last week, and I thought, I'll be fine for the radio by then, which I am feeling fine, but my voice did not come with me. So instead of me trying to have the listeners listen to this horrendous voice, I thought, why not bring in Shep, the guy that's been with me since day one? So I wanted to make sure that we did our radio debut with Shep, and here he is in studio with us. So I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to add about 5% of color commentary every once in a while, but I'll just be over here whispering.
Well, you're doing great. You look great. You sound like Imran, the ghost of sports card past. But no, we're happy to be here. We're all feeling great and hoping you're having a great holiday season. And what better way to start off this show than talking about the giving spirit of Christmas? Now, we've all received great gifts over the years, sports related. But Shep, what would you say is the best sports gift you've received over the years?
Oh, hands down, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, Christmas, we trade names in my family with the adults. And the first year, my brother-in-law, now brother-in-law, was with us. We have a $7,500 limit. This guy shows up, picks my name. I have an autographed George Brett bat, authenticated by Beckett. It's a real bat. George Brett's been my guy since I was a kid, my hero growing up, the guy I collect. And he brings in an autographed Brett bat for me, blew it out of the water. Hands down, probably the best sports gift I've ever received.
And what did that bat represent to you at that time when you got it?
I mean, first of all, that one, he was trying to buy his way into the family. And my sister, I was like, hey, yeah, definitely take her. She's, you know, your problem now. But it meant a lot because as a kid growing up, like I didn't have anything, you know, in the 80s, like autograph stuff didn't really exist all that much. It wasn't super obtainable for me as a kid. But to have that bat of my favorite player growing up and to be able to display that the rest of my collection, just it really means something to me. So every time I do look at it, it reminds me back of when I got it. And you know, I was almost 40 years old. I was crying when he gave this to me, because thank you. And I'm a man. I can admit that I cry. It made me happy. It was exciting. And so every time I do look at it, I think of it on fond memories. And it started our relationship off, on the right step. You know, bribing me so. It's always a good way.
That's a great way. Bribery is always the best way to get yourself into the family. My story doesn't really have bribery in it, but it does have a sports feel to it. And so growing up when I was a kid, I used to do a little bit of antique store thrifting. I still kind of do that now, actually, when it comes to sports finds and stuff, too. And I collected, I don't know if you guys remember, the old Carl's Jr. Kings bobbleheads. They used to give out. I actually have most of, I believe, the 2000 and 2001 season. Of the starting five, I believe. I have the Gerald Wallace, I have the Mike Bibby, the Brad Miller. And then I believe for Christmas one year, I got the Doug Christie. And that kind of completed my collection. And that was a really, really great gift. So it's not a great story, but it's a fun story of just kind of collecting how I got into the hobby even years ago of just collecting sports memorabilia.
I have one of those.
Really?
I have the Darius Sungaila.
Oh, wow.
I have all of them. And the reason I do is because my dad, we had season tickets to the Kings at that time. And I was going to Chico State, and the closest Carl's Jr., because you could go buy them, if you bought a meal, you got a bobblehead. I would drive down on the release day from Chico to Marysville. There at 70-65 Divide, there's a, still there today, a Carl's Jr. My dad would give me money to go down and buy two meals to get a bobblehead for me and a bobblehead for them every week. And I have to ditch class to go wait in line at a Carl's Jr. to get bobbleheads of the Kings. And I did that for 2 years.
I'll tell you this. For Christmas, for me, going back, I think of me going to Baskin-Robbins during the winter. Mm-hmm. And my dad used to bring me to Baskin-Robbins. So I collected two things. Number one, those helmets that you put the ice cream in. So the different baseball helmets that come with it.
Yeah.
And the second thing I collected was cavities from all the damn ice cream that I kept buying in order to get every helmet. That was just a good Christmas memory for me.
Ice cream tastes better out of those helmets. I guarantee it. There's friends of mine that tell me every time that they're at a ball game, they get that and they send me the photo of it. Also, too, nachos out of a helmet, even better.
I wanted to make sure that we introduce Shep and your background, Shep, because they're probably wondering who you are and why are you on the radio.
If you listen to the station, I'm kind of famous, right? I hang out in the chats.
You do?
We'll edit this out.
He's one of my biggest supporters.
We'll edit this out.
No,
your background, Shep.
Oh, yeah. No, so I'm in collecting for quite some time. I don't look it. I don't act it. But I've been collecting since 87. 87 was my first year. The wood-bordered cards are some of my favorite. But so I've been collecting since then when I did that with my dad. And I've had three goals in my entire life. One was to be a GM of a professional sports team. And I kind of do that now with fantasy sports in the championship game this week. Let's go.
Wow.
In the 1140 listener league too. Like, ooh. Yeah. And my name's Carmichael Daves, you know, we're all good, but no, that was one thing I always wanted to do. Second was to, own or work at a card shop. Checkmate, check that off. And the third was to actually be live on the radio at one point in my life and do talk radio. And here we are. So just goals met right now. So I'm nerding out, but no, so I've been collecting for, you know, since 87, huge George Brett guy, Barry Sanders guy. You know, my got to meet him, hold the Heisman. My grandpa coached him when he was in high school. And
Sanders?
Yeah, his junior year, and then helped him get recruited to Oklahoma State. So
wow.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool moment in my life. I was like third grade and holding the Heisman trophy and, you know, thinking this is the best thing ever. So
third grade holding the Heisman.
Yeah.
That sounds like a whole other story.
It was heavy. Yeah, no, it was neat. And no, I've been collecting, doing it for a long time. We all have those dark periods and came back in 2012, got into it, started a podcast with some friends in 2018, ran that for about 3 years. And it was a card show one day. And this guy across the way from me, his name was Herman, I think. And he was like, hey, I've heard you on the radio. You do a podcast? I was like, yeah. He goes, well, I listened to it and we exchanged information. It was actually Emran here. And he's like, I'm opening a shop in Rockland, Roseville area in the next few months. We get together, we're running a shop, and, you know, I'm proud to be part of True Sports from the beginning and what we built up over the last 2 years. It's been a crazy ride. We went from slinging cards at shows to doing a radio show and hanging out and meeting athletes. Like last week, I hung out with Marshall Faulk for a couple hours down in Albuquerque.
You didn't hang out with him. You ran the signing.
I ran a signing with Marshall Faulk, and he was a cool, very chill
that's
guy.
That's hanging out with someone.
Yeah. So it's been pretty. When you're sitting with Hall of Famers and you're just like, hey, how's it going? And that's like a normal thing, and it doesn't freak you out anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I mean, it started off with Kenny Thomas, and we've moved on to Marshall Faulk. So we're working it up.
I got to ask because as a journalist myself, everyone's losing it over here. While he's losing it and figuring himself out, I got to ask because as a journalist, I talk to a lot of athletes as well. What would you say is the biggest, I guess, star-struck moment an athlete you've encountered?
Raleigh Fingers.
No, yeah, I had dinner with the Cannon and having dinner with him. That was pretty great. And I nerded out with him about playing for the Red Sox, and he never really played, but he was on the Red Sox for a few days, and his agent was like, oh, he's never on the Red Sox, and Raleigh's like, well, I was. We talked about that, but the biggest nerd out moment I think over the last few years was probably meeting Willie Wilson.
Oh wow.
I grew up a Royals fan in Kansas, lived there for a long time, and I had met him before when I was a little kid at Picture Day and all this stuff. I got to pick him up at the airport. We rode. We did the signing at the shop, hung out. Great guy. Took him back, and we exchanged phone numbers because, you know, picking him up at the airport and doing those things. The next day, he sends me a text, because we had a card show that day. He was playing golf in a tournament, and I told him, hey, good luck on the tournament. He texted me first saying, hey, have fun at the card show today. It was great to meet you yesterday and hang out. I'd love to do it again, and I'm like, this is a guy I idolized watching as a kid, and he's just texting me on the normal. And I'm just sitting there like just geeked out because this is a guy I looked up to, I watched playing, rooted for, and he was just like an uncle, you know, like wishing me to have a good day. And, you know, and it was like this friendship. And I was like, that's pretty cool. The other was meeting Henry Rowan Gardner when we had Thomas at our first show in November of two years ago now. Right. And hanging out with him, and that was amazing. So just a lot of fun. Those are probably two of the biggest nerd out moments I had. So
wow.
He said nothing about Jason Williams. Nothing.
Jay, Will, and I are cool. We're good. That was your moment, though.
That's my moment.
Yeah. Well, when he pulled that card, he like that was
so cool.
We're opening boxes with Jay Will. Last pack, we were doing autograph. The man pulls, and it was not staged. We have the full video. Jay Will pulls Jay Will out of a box.
That's amazing.
And we went nuts. And then a bunch of people said it was fake because of the way the clip, but it was real. I was there. And that he is the coolest guy. He was like everybody's best friend that night.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
Being one in a million.
Yeah.
One in a million chance of that happening.
It did.
Shep, talk a little bit about the shop today.
Yeah. Yeah, today's the last day True Sports is going to be open before Christmas. We're running 10 to 6, so we just opened. Go and see the guys. We have plenty of stuff available, cards. I think there's some wax left. It's been crazy the last few days, but we also have the great gift of a gift card that so they can come back and hang out with us later. But, yeah we're going to be – we like to give the guys a couple of days off to enjoy Christmas with their families, enjoy the holidays. So we're going to be closed on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. We're going to be open back up on the 26th. But, yeah, come out and see us today. We're open from 10 to 6, Rockland, 6661 Stanford Ranch Road. Come and hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. I might even make an appearance.
Yeah. I might even make an appearance.
You can call it. If you have any questions, call the shop at 916-259-1993. Yep. Guys, we have some topics to talk about in the industry. Go ahead and leave.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think one of the biggest things is this big, huge vintage find that happened over this last month that's come out. So there was a guy down in a man named Ed that lived in Tracy, and he also lived in Oakland. And in the early 1920s, he was collecting a lot of cards as a kid. Would pick them up, Babe Ruth, Joe Jackson, Ty Cobb, all these guys from the early 1900s. And when they moved to the Bay Area, he had all these cards and kept them in a tin. And they were all from around 1919 to about 1926, and they were from a company called Z-Nuts. And these were cards that are distributed exclusively on the West Coast and with treats made from popcorn, peanuts, and coconut. Mm-hmm. And these cards were, like I said, only on the West Coast. He had them. When he passed away, his son found them. It was like, oh, this is pretty neat. Held on to them for a few years, and he told a friend about them. And his friend's like, man, sports cards are crazy right now. You should look into it. Mm-hmm. And so they've been going through, and they were working with auction house right now to evaluate them and to put them up for sale. But it sounds like they're going to be somewhere in the high six figures.
Wow.
As values. So these grails, like these are called the grail finds. There's mm-hmm. been a few like this before where we find cards hidden mm-hmm. That people hid away from the 1920s that now are populating. And I can't wait to see what happens, but it's crazy. This happened in my backyard. His son has the cards and he's in Sacramento. And unfortunately, we weren't able to be the ones to help him put these to market. Mm-hmm. But, you know, always if you have an older collection of cards or any kind of cards, you're not sure what they are. Our favorite thing at the shop is to help educate customers that come in. If you don't know about your cards and you want to know what they are, if you had an uncle or a dad or a grandpa that have passed on and you have their collection and you don't know what to do with it, bring it in. We'll help educate you, and we'll send you down the right path if you want to keep, if you want to grade, if you want to sell. We can help you with all those different options and kind of lead you to the right thing to do with the cards or what you want to do with them. But having this in our backyard is pretty awesome.
Sometimes people call me the Grim Reaper. I sound like one right now. But because they'll come in and they'll say, I have these cards since I was 10 years old, like Shep said. And I've been carrying them from house to house. And I just want to make sure that it's worth what I think it's worth. I go, let me guess, 1989 tops? Yeah. Sorry, bro. $5 for all of everything. It's just not worth anything. So sometimes we have to give bad news, but sometimes we have insane cards that walk in.
Oh, I still remember a day where a guy walked in. He goes, yeah, my dad gave us his cards, and he's still alive, but he wanted my brother and I to enjoy his collection. Mm-hmm. In walked a Joe DiMaggio rookie. There was a Charizard rookie.
Wow.
Jackie Robinson rookie. Jordan rookie.
Wow.
You name it. Besides Babe Ruth, this guy had those rookie cards with him. Jeez. And we were deciding on what to grade. And so we were picking and choosing two or three at a time mm-hmm. Based on the cost of the card. Because they said, hey, I'm not wealthy. And it was going to cost a few bucks to grade mm-hmm. these cards just because of their rarity.
Yeah.
And you know, what they go for in the open market. So that's neat. And this stuff walks in every day. And we've also had where people have come in with truckloads of 1990 Donruss. And I collected then. Emerin collected then. And it's really hard to tell somebody, hey, yeah, these cards you carried for 35 plus years that are heavy and take up space mm-hmm. are now Well, they're just fun to look at. Yes.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have great stuff that pops in and you're going through a baggie of cards and it's a bunch of 19, you know, early, late 70s tops and there's football and there's nobody in there. And all of a sudden a Walter Payton rookie pops out. And that's happened.
And we had a widow come in, older lady, wonderful woman. And she came in with a collection from her husband that passed away. And she says, I would like to sell these. And I asked her how much she wanted for it. And I don't want to disclose numbers, but let's just say that it was a number. And we reviewed it, Shep and I did. And I said, I'm sorry, but we're going to give you more. Because she had undervalued the collection.
Wow.
We gave her more.
Wow.
Because that's the right thing to do.
Correct.
Because we were still going to make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she was far undervalued. So we gave her about 33% more than what she was asking for on our own accord. Because we want to make sure that people feel good about coming to us and knowing that we really care about our customers.
And speaking of rare finds, I noticed recently on your guys' store on the Instagram, Pete, your big buyer, just had a big buy of Rocky Marciano cards.
He bought over 200 1951 Topps ringside cards.
Wow.
And 11 Rocky Marciano rookies were in there. We sent them to SGC to get graded. They came back in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to be on for sale. A lot less expensive than I thought. So they're starting at, the SGC ones are going for $150.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some as much as $400. But even then, that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
For it.
He was pretty good at boxing?
I heard so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
His name's Rocky.
Well, he boxed before my time.
There we go.
He's the only, I believe, I did some research, he is the only heavyweight boxer with an undefeated record.
Well, I believe so, and the best discussion about him ever was Coming to America. So if you know the barbershop scene from Coming to America, and they debate the best boxers of all time, that's a pretty good scene there. So
it is.
You want to talk about some exclusivity to Fanatics.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man. So I love the fact that Fanatics, I mean, if you go buy any sporting goods, like you go to the NBA store, you're going to the NFL store, you're going to the MLB store, it leads back to Fanatics and they're doing this stuff. Well, they got into cards where they purchased Topps, and so now they're producing baseball cards, and they're soon going to have the exclusive license. They have that for baseball. They're soon going to have it for basketball and football in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they've done in the last few years, because they want to be the king, they want to be the number one on the mountain, they want to have everybody, they've gone out and signed exclusive deals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little unfortunate for current product because they've locked up some guys where they're going to have base cards. They're going to have some very rare base cards, very awesome, but they're not going to have any autographed rookie cards in the product because they have deals with Fanatics.
Correct.
And that's going to help. I think it's going to build their brand, but at the same time with collectors, it's kind of a catch-22 where these great products are out, but you're not going to be able to hunt down the best the guys you're searching for right now for the autographs. And we never know who's going to blow up because a few years ago, everybody was chasing a Jameis Winston auto.
Yeah.
Right? But now you can get it for a few bucks. But these guys have been locked up. But like C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Bryce Young, those guys have been kind of locked up. Wembanyama.
Yeah, and that's the big one this year because, you know, Hoops just came out recently, and there's no autograph. The big hit is there's two one-of-one, black base cards that are the hits of the product because they're the first licensed product of Wembanyama, but there's no autograph. So it's like, is it really a chase? Is it not? And that makes it tricky there.
Well, it makes it more of a chase, being the fact that we had Mosaic Football and we had a CJ Stroud black finite one-of-one pulled in shop.
That's amazing.
Which we then sold, and it's been graded by the buyer since then. And I think it received a 9 or a 10?
I got a 10 with SGC.
Yeah, I got a 10 with SGC. So it's a one-of-one black finite. It's the one you want pulled at our shop, but again, the reason why it's the one you want is because now you can't chase the one-of-one autograph because it's not there. And my whole thought behind it is it's like, yeah, it's good as Fanatics grows their brand, but also kind of, it makes base cards real again, right? It makes those numbered cards of these guys, Wembanyama. I mean, also too, you look at Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller in basketball.
Yeah.
These guys are locked up exclusively. And so if you want their autographs, you're going to have to go through and get a Topps Now product that they're offering online. Until they're actually putting product out on the floor with these guys. But, you know, it's fun to, like, I'm a big base rookie guy. Like, I want, or a numbered rookie. Like, I like the color match. So if the team's wearing blue and they have a blue, you know, parallel, and that's a rookie card, that's what I'm looking for because of the way it just has some more eye appeal. I think it's going to make collectors really embrace those parallels even more as we move forward, and they're going to be more of the chase. Like, golds are always a good chase in both in both those sports.
Oh yeah,
you're still going to have the gold vinyls. You're going to have those black finites. So it's going to be interesting to see how the market does. I mean, Emron told me, like, I'm in the shop a little bit just because I've been out with some health things, but that product, football and basketball product, is
sells no matter what.
Flying out the store. And this was that autograph. So tell me what happens when these guys actually do have those autographs, what it's going to do. I mean, the market has just been wild on wax.
Mosaic football now, 2023 Mosaic football is now in excess of $500 a box.
Wow.
And that was, it was like $450, you know, like 2 weeks ago. And the Stroud has already been pulled.
Yeah, the Stroud you want is pulled.
The best card that you can get in the product has been pulled. Yet, the box price went up.
Yes.
Because the rookies are performing so well right now, there's a reason for that chase. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, but if the number one guy's gone,
yeah,
shouldn't the product go down?
But there's still, you know, there's still probably a 10 left somewhere or a 225, and that's what you're looking, that you're chasing for.
Yeah, but when the Bowman draft Brady, 12 of 50 autograph is pulled.
From True Sports Cards. We have them in stock today.
Yeah.
We have them in stock.
We do.
We kept it in the same price, $559. You should see the value of it go down. I just saw some of the pricing. The number to 50 autos for Brady out of Bowman are going for about $20,000 to $25,000 per.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's insane for modern product.
Yeah, it is.
But everybody's still chasing the 12 of 50 Brady because there's a bounty for $500,000. The Super Fractor's already been pulled. It was graded at 9 last week.
Yeah, and it was pulled the day one, right?
If you ever saw the video when Brady signed it, he slides it across the little tablecloth.
Yep.
And it hooks the edge. It would have been a 10 had he not screwed it up by throwing it that way. But he doesn't care. He's just happy to sign and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the problem with pack pulled on card autographs.
Mm-hmm.
The card's actually touched.
Do you think that's why, because I know Topps is doing the MLB debut patches this year, but they're coming in redemption form. You're not getting the card directly. Do you think that's a better idea to have that redemption form so that you can get it not tainted later on?
It is live in the Breaker's Delight.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So I think that it's neat to pull redemptions, but you're always waiting. People would love the sexiness of pulling it out right out of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
But... whatever it takes. I would love to see them already graded.
Yeah, the ones, like an encased.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I remember those products were always fun when you would get a graded card in there. And I think what I like about the Topps, what they did with the redemptions for the debut cards, though, is they actually put a picture of the card on there, and it wasn't just the plain, basic blue redemption paper in there. And they have them. They're there. They're ready to go, and they're shipping within, as soon as you put that your redemption code in, it's basically getting shipped out to you within a few days, which is great because that means, because everybody gets scared when they get a redemption. Is it going to get signed? Am I going to get this card?
Oh, yeah.
I still have redemptions from another company, Panini, that are 800 days.
Oh, yeah. No.
800 days ago, I put it in.
But that's the problem with redemption cards because you end up with product that will have redemptions. Like, if you have redemption cards, there was somebody that pulled a 2003 redemption card of Jordan Otto out of Exquisite, that's dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to redeem it? So the box price would go down.
Yeah. But Topps, what they did on this one, especially with the patches, they didn't put an expiration date on them. So with the debut patches, this is the first time that they've done that where a redemption has not had an expiration date. We saw this, you know, with big in 2020, Luis Robert. For the White Sox, it was a huge chase and Bowman, and all his autos were redemptions. And once that date passed, those box prices fell. They fell quite a bit. I want to say they fell about 25% within a week of that date expiring, though Bobby Witt Jr. also was in that product to help kind of drive it with autographs. That price came down because, again, his auto was not there, and he was the one guy, he and Bobby Witt were the two guys that chased that product.
I just think that football is bulletproof.
It is.
It can just, it doesn't even matter. People will still buy it. It's the number one followed sport in the United States.
Yep.
It's what people want.
I mean, I think the reason why football has it, one, you have the audience. Mm-hmm. Two, you're only playing a couple now. It's like 3 days a week. But, you know, there's only a few days a week where you're actually getting football.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can concentrate that fancy sports. And the rookies come in and they have an instant impact in the game. Same with the NBA, but I think in football it's even more so, especially like at the quarterback or wide receiver, running back position, those offensive positions, they get so much more look and their names come out so much more just because of fantasy sports. And I feel like people look at cards. If you know, if Joe Blow has a 3-touchdown game for the New England Patriots, then his cards are going to skyrocket and take off. An example is my guy Jake Browning.
Yes.
Folsom High's own Jake Browning. I love Jake. Huge. I went to Folsom. He went to Folsom, so there we go.
Boo.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Boo.
I love it.
Boo.
And so I was buying his autographed cards from 2019, and all he had were collegiate products, right?
Yep.
I was buying his autographed cards for $4 or $5. I was buying base cards for $1. And just because he went to Folsom High and he was undrafted, he doesn't have any license where he's in an NFL jersey. As he said, the Vikings should have never cut him. That was the best clip of the weekend. And now he has two NFL cards, or Panini Now cards, that they've released this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a guy where all of a sudden he starts playing well. The autograph I bought for $4 is now well over $100.
Oh, I'm looking at the prices right now. Recent sales just today. The 2019 Prism draft picks, the silver base rookie from 2019 for Jake Browning, $175.
Yeah.
That was not the case even 2 months ago.
Yeah. So I can tell you, if you are looking for Jake, we're going to have some in the shop probably later today, as I drop some off for Emran to put out. But yeah, no, it's just crazy. And one, I love seeing local kids do well.
Yes.
Especially if you follow baseball in Sacramento, there are like
so many
20 guys in Major League Baseball from Sacramento, Elk Grove, this area. It's great how baseball's taken off. But yeah,
we would be rich as a store. We'd be rich if we had Ian Book do something.
Yeah. But he went to Oak Ridge. So.
Ew. Oak Ridge is even worse.
There we go. We can agree on something. There we go.
I went to Del Oro, so, you know, there's that. Yeah.
Oh, I remember Randy Fasani.
I barely graduated high school. I don't even remember.
Well, it was so long ago. It was when everybody was in that one classroom, right?
Yeah, it was.
I said, so you see Jake explode over the last couple weekends, and like everybody thought, hey, the Bengals are done. But Jake comes in, he's steady Eddie, and he made himself a few bucks, but he also made people that believed in him or collected him early a few dollars as well.
Yeah.
And they can take off now. Jake might, you know, he's going to be a career backup probably. He might get a spot start or something from now. He might be the next Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he plays on 30 teams and backs up for 15 years. But when these guys have these big weeks, you instantly see their cards go up. And I know it drives them crazy when there'll be a guy that takes off. Puka Nacua, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Puka, no one knew who Puka Nacua was.
No.
He was a late-round pick by the Rams. Somebody came up, dug through the boxes, and bought autographs that we put in for $5 that were going for $30 to $40, $50 that first weekend he had took off from our shop. And it's like, we're not going to go through and reprice all of our, you know, what, close to 1 million singles in the store, whatever it is. It's crazy to dig through those to find those guys, but they're in there. I remember a few years ago, a guy spent like a day digging. He found Evan McPherson rookie autos. Now, it's a kicker, but his rookie year on the Bengals, like, he was just unbelievable.
Oh, he was lights out.
He was, and people were coming in, and we had his, he was a rookie kicker, so we had his autos at like $3, because it's like a rookie kicker. Like,
yeah.
Who collect kickers?
It's a kicker.
Yeah. Are kickers people? I don't know. Like,
no, they are.
They are. Okay.
They are people. Punters are too.
There we go. Pat McAfee's changed that, I think, right?
He has. He really has endorsed that one.
But, you know, so you have these guys, and hey, we look and then, it's a $3, put it in there. And then he takes off, starts doing well. And then people find these awesome gems in the shop. And then they're able to, you know, they go flip it for $25 or $30. And we go, oh, that could have been us. But hey, it's great that it went to a customer. So
I don't care. If the customer wins, I'm happy.
Really. Most of the time.
No, I'm happy all the time.
Unless we
Daddy's always happy.
Daddy doesn't sound very happy right now.
Yeah, no, this voice is the best Imran's ever seen. I love this, that Imran's voice is limited. It's great. Yeah, so no, it's just fun to have these local guys out there, you know, so to see. Another big one.
Yes.
Yomamoto, they just signed?
Yeah, Yoshi.
Yoshi just signed with the Dodgers for a couple bucks.
Ew, just disgusting.
Like, that's a whole other story.
What's the details?
Well, no. So 12 years, $325 million with the Dodgers. But
Light work.
But you could see him in products, and he's probably not going to be in flagship Top Series 1 that comes out here in a few weeks, but he's definitely going to be a big headliner and a big chase in the upcoming baseball products this year. And I love it because I remember the days of, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I know Imran does, Hideo Nomo, when he was with the Dodgers when he came over.
1995. That was his rookie year.
And he just drove the league. Mm-hmm. Like you hit a Nomo, and this is like before autographs were really a thing.
Okay.
So you hit base rookie cards, and everybody was chasing Nomo. And then we had Dice K in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and recently Tanaka that was with the Yankees.
Yep.
When all these guys came over, they had such a great following instantly. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what this does for cards and how it can expand the market. Now, I mean, you know, Ohtani's done great things.
Yes.
I mean, Ichiro, Nomo, all those guys really kind of drove that Japanese market.
Matsui, yes, absolutely. Yes.
But we see now with him coming over, I think it's going to bring even more collectors to it. Don't like to see that he's on the Dodgers and they're building that super team. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to see what his cards do. Even some of his Japanese cards, mm-hmm. the Topps produced,
yeah.
now are just taking off. I mean, a base card was a few bucks a couple weeks ago, and now we've seen those even go up. Now as people in America have like, oh, okay, now they've caught on.
Let me ask you, because you're our baseball historian here today. What does having two Japanese-born superstars being on a team like the Dodgers, who is a world-recognized brand, the Dodgers, the Yankees are two of the biggest brands in sports, let alone baseball, what does it do for not only products like sports cards, but just in general, the overall appeal of baseball?
I think it's just going to open up so many more eyes. It's going to bring so many more people, and it's going to bring in that, and it's a bad comparison, but similar to like the Swifties. How many Swifties watched football
Lots.
Or liked football before this year?
Never.
And now they're all wearing Travis Kelce jerseys, and
yep.
there's all kinds of Taylor merch of the NFL shield, like it says Taylor's version, and all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff. Now, it's going to be similar to that, where I think some of these folks were there already, but I think it brings even more attention and news, especially when a man signs for $325 million,
yeah.
and he's got a teammate making $700, and now they've spent $1 billion on two guys that are foreign-born players mm-hmm. for a giant mega franchise
yes.
that's it stands alone. Like you said, Yankees, Dodgers, people around the world know this. Like,
do.
I don't follow soccer, but I knew who Manchester United is.
Yeah.
And I would assume the Dodgers are the name similar to that
similar
across
spectrum,
the world.
Similar spectrum, absolutely.
Right? And so to see these two guys sign there, I think it's going to bring more eyes to baseball. And hopefully it re-energizes baseball in the fact where baseball gets some more popularity. I think it used to be the nation's pastime, but I think it's definitely a distant third between football and basketball now. So,
but the finances are insane.
Oh, it has to be. To yeah. put $1 billion on two guys, plus you have Betts and Freeman and all those other guys on the team, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that all comes out, and hopefully the Dodgers can make
plus,
a few bucks.
Plus they got to pay for the gondola.
Yeah, they got to pay for the gondola.
You don't know about the gondola?
Oh, you haven't heard about this?
What's that?
I mean, I'll tell him before.
Oh, I believe, if I have this right.
I think Chris even knows about the gondola.
I've only heard this in passing, but they're building a gondola that can take you, I forget from what part of LA to the stadium. Like you park somewhere and you get in a gondola and it takes you to the stadium because the parking there is just so bad.
Yeah.
That you're able to park away like a mile or so away and the gondola takes you up and then takes you over and takes you to the stadium and back.
Wow.
17,000 people an hour.
Wow. Is it the one from Disneyland? Can they wrap that in too so you could go to Disneyland?
Can you imagine? You can, instead of getting harassed in the parking lot, you're harassed on the gondola.
Yeah.
Think of people throwing in.
Someone's going to be living on the gondola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be living on that gondola.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very. I feel like
new innovative ways to come see your favorite.
I feel
players.
That some of the Giants fans should not ride.
I don't want to talk about Dodgers anymore.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Giants.
Yes.
Are they going to sign Blake Snell or what?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'd love to see it.
He's a Cy Young winner, of course.
At this point, if they could sign anybody, it would be great.
Yeah.
Let's be honest there.
What's going on?
Are you not a fan of their signing so far?
No, I'm not. No, it's not that. I feel like that they're always left at the altar, or they're just the stalking horse.
Perpetual bridesmaids.
I don't know what's going on, but the
pitching is what kicked their butt this year.
Yeah.
Well, and they don't have anybody that can hit.
That's necessary in baseball.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like at this point, I'm wishing Brandon Belt was playing first base.
Wait, collectible-wise, I don't even know where Crawford is with his contract. Is he?
He's expired.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to re-sign him or he's going to retire, but he's Mr. Like, it's weird. There's certain guys, like
yeah.
Crawford. We get a Crawford signed item in the shop. Mm-hmm. It does not last.
Yeah, it sells right away.
Yeah.
It sells, like, it's weird. Like, he's a great player, and he's kind of like a Giant, but he's never going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be an all-time Giant. Right now, he's probably the best San Francisco Giant shortstop of all time.
Yes.
I don't know.
Injury Bay.
Defensively, especially.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you see his bat. He won the World Series with the Giants. He was a big part of that. But that's really it. But his stuff comes in, and it flies out.
He's from Northern California, too. He's a homegrown talent. Everyone loves that stuff.
Yeah. You know, and that's, again, like Logan Webb, who's from Rockland, and where our shop is. And, again, he's another guy. We don't keep stuff in. We've never been able to see that. George Kittle. And these guys are good big names, but they're not like super-duper star names that we sell way more of than the other guys. And I think that just shows what Sacramento is and how they support their local guys or chase their local guys. If you're a local and
you do good,
you do somewhat good.
Yes.
You know what else sells in our shop? Altman. James Altman.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Sac State. Oh, and he's also a
Dodger.
Yeah.
Why did I bring him up?
You don't want to talk about the Dodgers. Are you wearing a Dodger shirt?
Let's talk about the Kings.
I mean, it is blue after all.
Let's talk about the Kings. Please.
I mean, the Kings got a win last night. They blew out the Suns. They had a big, big showing. Malik Monk had one of the dunks of the year again. I mean, Mr. King Malik Monk, and then obviously Keegan Murray coming on. Where do we see the Kings at right now in the market, and what are you seeing in your shop right now with Kings players?
Well, I mean, Murray's
on fire.
Yeah.
And Fox sells really well, but Murray's on fire.
Yeah. When you have highlights that, like that dunk last night looked like Emron on a Nerf rim, that Malik had, that, again, inspires people to go, God, I want a Malik Monk auto.
Yeah.
I want a Malik Monk rookie. I want a Malik Monk something. When these guys do, when Keegan hit all those threes, that following day, I can guarantee you that he was the number one asked person at the shop. And it's when these guys have a big time performance or they do a spectacular highlight.
Yes.
Or they have it like, go back to Jake, he had that great Monday night game. That put him on the map. It's a Monday night football game and he kills it. And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, I remember him at UW. God, you know, I really want a card of his. And so it's this instant mindset that we're all in the hobby right now, that when a player has that impact moment or they have that career-defining game, something big happens or they're coming up to a big milestone like LeBron when he was going for the scoring record. His prices have always kind of stagnant, but as he got closer and closer, if you go back and look at the data, I can guarantee it that his rookie cards or his autographs spiked as he got closer to the scoring title for Kareem and actually took over. And then they go back down. It happened with...
Stayed flat.
Yeah. It rose.
And then it stayed flat at the top.
Yeah. And same with, unfortunately, when Kobe passed, people took advantage of those things with his autographs and his cards, but it got some people back into cards.
Yes, it did.
But it also rose his prices up, which brought other guys with him, but it kept him at like a plateau. It went up to a certain level, like everyone said, and then it kind of just steadies off, but it stays there. It never really goes back down. Now, you'll have a guy that'll, you know, like I said, that'll have a James White in the Super Bowl, right? And he had all those touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Looks great. Guarantee you the next day or that night during the game, his card sold well. But 2 years later, it's like a $3 afterthought.
Jonas Gray, same thing. Had that three touchdown performance and was never heard of again.
Well, yeah, because he missed it. He missed his alarm. Yeah, he was a running back for the Patriots. Three touchdowns in a Sunday night game, right?
Yep.
I think it was Miami.
It was against Miami, yes.
And the next Monday, he missed his alarm to wake up to go to the team meeting. Done. Like, didn't play, got cut like 2 weeks later.
Never heard from him again.
Yeah. Belichick was like, nope, I don't care how many touchdowns you scored. But his cards, I guarantee, if he had anything, they spiked. And then they went back down to where they were before. But it's one of those things, like, you never know who's going to take off. And, you know, it's always a fun joke when someone blows up. You know, we have a guy in the shop, if anybody's been in their big Ant, they're always those guys that Ant likes, the seventh, eighth guy off the bench that Ant's, oh, he's awesome.
I love Justin Preston.
Yes.
Who?
Yeah, I
swear,
PC him.
Stone and Jason Preston, I swear.
Jason Preston, third guard on the Clippers.
G League team.
Who?
Yeah.
Doesn't even play for him.
Yeah. Well, hey, I collect Garrett Hampson, and that's just because he's
who?
He plays, he's a utility player for the Rockies, and then he was with the Marlins. He
just signed
with my Kansas City Royals. I'm super pumped, but his cousin's one of my buddies, and he texts me. He's like, hey, Garrett's getting ready to sign with the Royals. And this is the days before the news was made.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's awesome. But I can super collect him. I can grab super fractors of him for like $40 and Uber PC this guy. And just because I've never met him, we've done some internet, you know, DMing on Twitter or X or whatever. And that's been cool. But I feel like a kinship to him, and so that's why I go out and I super collect this guy. And everybody's like, "Who? Who's this?" But I can go out and get the best cards of him.
Yeah,
for nothing, and I have this awesome collection, and I go back and look and go, hey, I have the best collection this guy. Does anybody care? Probably not. His mom doesn't. Might not even collect his cards. I might have more, but hey, it's fun to do, and that's why we're into this. It's at the end of the day, it's a fun hobby to be in, and for me, it's a good way to spend time and you know, with others. So
for me, it's about the collecting. It's about the PC personal collecting for me. Obviously, you want to sell and flip cards, and that's part of your guys' trade as well. But for me, it's about the collecting and having those weird, obscure collections of players that not everyone knows, but you have a personal connection with is super, super cool. Yeah.
And the other way card collecting can be fun is about 4 years ago, I started this thing called a self-sustaining hobby. I didn't want to spend any paycheck money that should go to my family for bills and food and mortgage, all that fun stuff that we have to do as we get to be adults. But I wanted to take cards I had that I really had no connection to, but were valuable to somebody else and sell them. And take that money to buy more cards for myself and to sell. And for the most part, since then, I have not spent any paycheck money on cards.
Wow.
It's just been money I've earned from selling and trading cards with other collectors and making those connections. And that's one of the best things about this is the relationships you build. You know, I didn't know Imran until, was it early 2021?
Early 21.
Yeah. And within a few months, it's like, hey, here's the keys to the shop. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I was not his first draft pick.
Obviously.
Secrets are out. He went Marvin Bagley over Luka. But then he traded back and got Luka. He made some adjustments, and now he has Luka. But it's...
Don't ever bring up Marvin Bagley again.
It's totally hey, true. It's good, totally good true. For him giving 80 grand to pay off some loans the other day, though. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was cool.
But no, you know, all the hurt there. I'm looking over here and I see Sabonis and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that the relationship and like cards brought us together, a podcast talking about sports cards brought us together and connected us. And then we built off of that. And it's funny, you know, we're similar age. He's older, obviously, but similar age group. We grew up and did the same things, but collecting the stories we share and then getting to hang out with these 20-year-old kids that we work with every day, keep us young.
Yeah.
But we also get to enter and seeing the customers come in, like I guarantee like the 26th, 27th, 28th of this month are going to be some of the best days in the shop. Kids are out of school. Mm-hmm. They have that Christmas money. They got the gift card from True Sports, which is open today, 10 to 6 in Rockland.
Good work.
On Stanford Ranch. They come in and spend money and hang out with us. I get more excited when they have a great pull. Specifically, remember some kid spent $10 on a Score jumbo pack last year. All Raidered out. Raider fans? I don't know. They're there. But he's super Raider fan. Pulls a Derek Carr auto out of a $10 pack. This kid lost his mind.
Awesome.
I lived off that personally for like 2 days.
That's amazing.
He was like an instant Red Bull to me about collecting because there is card fatigue when you're doing it every day. And then I go home and I do cards. I talk about cards. I text about cards. Yeah. I tweet about cards. It's every day, all day. And so sometimes there's fatigue, but seeing that and hit, like this 10-year-old kid hit the card, lost his mind, that to me like means so much. And seeing those experiences and sharing that and telling these stories is what I love about the hobby. So,
and it doesn't even just have to be kids because I've worked with Hall of Famers for many years now.
Yes.
And
catch all the names first
time,
drop.
The first time that we were together, Shep and I had a signing, happened to be Raleigh Fingers. And we went to Eureka for dinner after our signing. So it's me, Raleigh, some nobody agent of his, and Shep. And the four of us are eating there. And Shep is deathly silent, sitting there. He's there. He's present. He's in the moment. But he's quiet. He's sitting there silently. And it was his version of the 10-year-old Score Pack kid. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
Talk about that.
No, I mean, just we're sitting there and I'm having dinner with a Hall of Famer, a guy that's like everybody knows. When I told my mom, hey, I'm going to dinner with Raleigh Fingers, she knew.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, the guy with the mustache. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, we're going to go. And sitting down and just talking to him, it's like talking to somebody I'd known my entire life. That's and we so just cool. met that day. And I got to, you know, there was really like I was nerding out, asking questions, trying not to like hyperventilate. This is the first interaction, you know, with a Hall of Famer sitting right across from me. And we had a good conversation and chatted back and forth. And to me, I mean, it was just was a wild experience, but I lived off that for a long time and was like, oh man, that's so cool. But then when it happens again and again, I still don't lose that excitement.
Yeah.
It's just a little, I'm a little more tempered inside because it's like, okay, this is my daily life. All right, let's do this. This is great.
Oh yeah, it's happened to me all the time when I'm reporting and stuff with the Niners. So it's like, I watch a lot of these guys on TV growing up, especially Debo, McCaffrey, all these guys, because I'm only 23 years old. I'm pretty much the same, similar age as a lot of these guys. And it's like, okay, don't freak out. They're just players. They're just people. It's part of the daily life now of just, okay, you do this for a living. You got to just stay the same course. But inside, there's still that little nerd that obviously that collects and watches these guys growing up. So yeah, that's cool.
The fun thing is, Amron's favorite thing to do whenever we have athletes and we do interviews, he goes, hey, you remember that time when you scored 12 points in the fourth quarter? You do? Yeah, that was great. And the athlete at first is kind of like, okay, he goes full Chris Farley. And it's hilarious to us. And they finally catch on. And it's a good time. And those are the best times because – or like when you get to see the like going back to Raleigh, like all the A's guys, like the old A's collectors that came in that have had, like there was guys that brought in bobbleheads the size of Emron. Not super tall, but it's pretty tall for a bobblehead.
Yeah.
And he comes in and it's of Raleigh and he's signing it. And just their excitement to meet him and interact with him. I mean, we had Vida Blue in the shop and, you know, unfortunately he passed away this year, but we got to spend time with him last year, and he was fun. It was a great time to hang out and spend time with him, and seeing, like, I did nerd out and go one of those things, hey, do you know that you're last American League switch hitter to win the MVP? And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, no American League baseball player has won the MVP that's a switch hitter since you. And he was a pitcher, by the way, and he won the MVP in Cy Young that year. And it's a fun little trivia fact.
That's amazing.
But, you know, it was one of those, you know, hey, well, guys.
One last thing before we kind of wrap up the show, because we're – in our last 8 minutes or so, did you know that Shep was on a show on ESPN? It was way before your time, Emil. It's called Stump the Schwab.
The what?
Stump the Schwab. Chris, do you remember that show? Tell us about that, Chris.
I believe the Schwab, it was you versus the Schwab, and there'd be like a trivia question, and if you got to answer it before him, you beat the Schwab.
Shep was on that show, on TV. Shep. Tell us about that experience.
There was a recording I had of it, but that's gone away.
You're wearing a suit, right?
Yeah, I was wearing a suit.
You look so dark.
I was sweaty.
Oh my gosh.
I was way bigger. At one point in my life, I was about 400 pounds. And I was on this little desk, like school kid desk. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, like third grade desk. And we're sitting there. And yeah, it's three guys. And we had to
It was on
ESPN2.
Right.
Real quick backstory. Took an overnight flight, a red eye from here to New York to do the show. On the flight, the Connecticut Sun. They just lost the WNBA championship to the Monarchs. That's how long ago this was.
Oh, wow.
JetBlue playing ESPN SportsCenter on a loop overnight all the way to New York. The top of the hour, every hour, they saw themselves lose. And I'm sitting next to one of the players.
Oh, my God.
And every hour, at the top of the hour, they're watching themselves lose the title to the Monarchs. And I'm sitting there like happy the Monarchs won. We got a title in Sacramento. I'm going off to do Stump the Schwab. But, yeah, no.
Who is Schwab?
Schwab was their stats and information guy. He gave them all the background information and all the nerdy stats that they provided across all of their broadcasts for a long time.
He was Sports Google.
Yeah, he was Sports Google. They would just ask him a question. That's how the show started, is they played this game at ESPN and behind the scenes. Stuart Scott was the host, so I got to meet the great Stuart Scott in person. They were both super friendly afterwards. Before the show, though, it was ice cold. Like, they were just daggers into you.
Yeah.
The studio was freezing, and I'm still sweating because I'm fat and wearing a suit. It was a great time, and we had, like, I remember my friend TiVo'd it. It was on his website. It's gone now. I lost out. The worst part about it, it reran. My dad calls me and goes, hey, you're Stump the Schwab's on reruns. Are you going to win this time? Thanks, Dad. But
wow.
No, it was great. So we play this game at the show, at the shop every once in a while. Pete will go through cards. And he'll give me a random name, Travis Henry. And I'll tell him, I went to Tennessee, paid for Buffalo. And we'll run through all the teams he played with. And
this is why Shep is not great at being the whatnot camera guy that's selling a card. Because he'll put the card up front, start the clock,
Fun fact.
And he'll go, oh, Travis Henry, did you know that he was blah, blah, blah. He'll talk for the 19 seconds on the clock, not about the card, but about the player.
Yeah.
And then at the last second, he'll go, oh, wait, it's numbered out of two.
Yeah. And then we sold it for $1.
Yep.
But and it was a $20
and
card.
And I lose my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun. We're all throwing Jackie Robinsons at the end. But so it's fun. Like, and I'm a big sports,
Yeah, no, historian. Yeah.
It's because when I was a kid, I read sports encyclopedias for fun. So
Shep and I challenge each other to see who knows more.
On any sport, or like what's the sport you guys do the most?
He kills baseball.
Yeah, I do better in baseball. Basketball, football. I'd say Emron's probably better in basketball. Mm-hmm. But football, it's fun. Like we run off like draft picks and
watch this. What year do you want to start with? 1989.
For what?
First
pick. Basketball.
Football.
Football. 89, Aikman. 90 was, you're putting me on the spot. Jeff George. 91 was Maryland. 92, Entman. 93, Bledsoe. 94, Big Daddy, Dan Wilkinson. 95 was Kajana Carter. 96, I can go on. Keyshawn.
Wow.
I can pretty much start back from like 80 on football and basketball.
That's incredible.
Mostly baseball, number one overall picks.
I can't do that.
I'm just a dork. That's
I could probably do recent NBA number one overall picks, but not back then. No.
Quick, before we close out the show, Emil, preview for Christmas game.
Yeah, preview for the Christmas game in terms of Brock Purdy. Oh yeah, let's do Brock. So Brock Purdy is on an all-time tear right now.
He's pretty good.
Brock Purdy is the leading MVP candidate in the NFL, despite being Mr. Irrelevant last year. He is the leading MVP candidate with odds on favor, and if he and the Niners beat the Ravens on Monday, there is a very good chance that Brock Purdy will be the MVP of the NFL. And his cards reflect that. Because in November, during their three-game skid, you can get his base PSA 10 for $84. One just sold yesterday, I'm not kidding you, for $276. That's how high Brock Purdy's market is right now. So if you have some Brock Purdy cards and you're looking to make a little buck for the holidays, now would be the time to do that. On the Brock Purdy train, or if you're looking to buy into Brock Purdy, I'd wait a little bit till the offseason when his prices cool off a little bit, and then I don't think his prices are going to cool off to where they were in November, but I do think that Brock Purdy is going to be a long-term quarterback for the Niners and going to be their guy for many, many years to come.
I have two questions. One, or a statement and a question for you. First, the best time to buy cards is in the offseason.
Yes.
A few weeks after the season ends, that's when you want to do it. But two, real quick, Kurt Warner, undrafted, got cut by the Packers, signed with the Rams,
yep.
Won MVP twice.
Yes.
It was he, and then Marshall, then he won again. Everybody says, well, it's unwarranted because he was the last pick of the draft. And da, da, da. Kurt Warner was not even drafted, got
yes.
cut, won MVP. I don't remember people going, well, an undrafted guy can't win the MVP. It should be the – and I feel like they're just slamming Brock because he was drafted last. I don't think if he was drafted number three like they did with Lance,
yeah.
Oh, he'd won the MVP 10 times already this year.
Oh yeah, it's just unfortunate. This is kind of where we're at right now. Anyway,
so guys, remember as we head out today, this is the last day to get your gifts at True Sports Cards. We're open today 10 to 6.
Yep,
we have wax, singles, supplies, the best thing ever, gift cards. Jake Browning cards will be in the shop today. Come and hang out with us. 6661 Stanford Ranch, Rockland. 916-259-1993. Coming to hang out with us today. I would love it. Oh my
goodness. I may be there. Emmer might not be there.
I will be there, but don't talk to me.
He'll be there in person, not in voice.
Yes, best day to negotiate with an Emmer's today. I'm going to negotiate my contract for next year today.
Yep.
And he'll mime
mine
prices.
As well with Emran.
He's going to my office.
He's going to mime prices.
Hey, I'll be back next week. My voice will join me.
I hope.
Emil will be here.
I will.
Shep, you killed it today. Thank you so much.
It was Shep's fun to hang out. I appreciate it, guys. It was amazing.
Round of applause for Shep.
Yeah.
Round of applause for Shep. Yeah, and this is a True Sports Car Show here on Sacktown Sports. We'll be back next week with more. But until then, happy holidays to you all. Be safe out there. Love and peace.
Merry Christmas. We'll see ya.
Bye.